So our reading can be found on page 1078 if you have got the Pew Bibles. And you will find there John chapter 11, and we're reading from verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her brother, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. So we come to the end of our sermon series on the Apostles' Creed, which hopefully you've found quite helpful. I must confess, when I first heard it, was spending time looking at a creed in detail rather than a book of the Bible. I did have some reservations, but I hope you'll agree it's been pretty well worthwhile in helping us deepen our understanding of the fundamental elements of our faith. So I looked down right to see what I was going to be preaching on today, and it's a lot. It's one word: Amen. So give me 30 seconds, I should be able to cover that. This is the shortest sermon slot I've ever filled. So when Manda asked me to step in today, she said, "Amen, that means let it be so. So live your lives in accordance with what you believe, and all is well. Here endeth the lesson." So we'll expand it a little bit, shall we? We're summarising the series today with the words, "Amen, I believe." And the passage that we've just heard is absolutely remarkable, and it goes right to the very heart of what we as Christians believe. Let's just put it into context, and let's just use our imaginations for a minute. Jesus had heard that he's very friendly with the family, and Jesus heard sadly that Lazarus, a friend of his, had died. So Jesus was on the road, on the way to see what was going on, and he met one of the sisters. And during the conversation, Martha, she met her friend Jesus, and she displayed an amazing amount of faith. She said to Jesus that if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And she also shared a belief that Lazarus would rise on a future resurrection day. So, and this is all good. And then in response, Jesus made one of the most amazing statements he's ever made. "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" So, can you put yourself into Martha's position for a minute? She knew these things from attending the synagogues, reading the scriptures. She knew there was going to be a resurrection one day. She was one of the part of the Jewish faith that did believe in a resurrection. There was also one that didn't, but she believed there was going to be a resurrection. And so she had this sort of hope that in the future something wonderful had happened. And then the man standing in front of her, who she knew so well, said, I am the way to that resurrection. Can you just imagine how she must have felt for a moment? What incredible and far-reaching words. So let's just unpack that a little bit on what the full impact of the words mean. First of all, by saying I am, Jesus was putting himself on an equal footing with God the Father, as that is the name that God gave himself in the Old Testament. And then secondly, Jesus is making it quite clear that if we believe in him, then we will never die in the spiritual sense. We will never die. What an amazing promise. But then finally, there's also a condition attached to the promise, as there quite often is when Jesus speaks. It's never easy when you're listening to Jesus. There's plenty to think about. Jesus said, whoever lives by believing in me, in other words, whoever lives in him or for him as disciples who have committed their lives to him. And he refers to this somewhere else as those who abide in him or live in him. So Martha's response to Jesus' question, do you believe this, was, yes, Lord, she replied, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is come into the world. So just imagine that Jesus walks in now and asks you that question now. Do you believe this? Are you ready to believe? Are you ready to give up everything and follow Jesus into that committed relationship that he's calling us to? Having responded as she did, Martha then saw Jesus respond to her faith by giving her so much more that she could have dreamed of. Her brother was raised from the dead. Not sometime in the future, in a total future resurrection. The same day, this man who claimed to be the resurrection actually physically commanded the dead man to come, and he rose. Her brother raised from the dead. Martha's faith was so fulfilled. And isn't this an encouragement for us to pray boldly with expectation that because of his great love for us, Jesus will give us so much more than we could imagine or dare ask for. And Jesus repeatedly emphasized how important it is for us to believe in him. In John, I'll give you two or three short readings, and each one is from John's Gospel. John 10, 37 to 39, Jesus said, do not believe me unless I do the works of the Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Believe. He's making it so important. If you don't get the words, look at what he's doing. It's there to be seen. And later on in John, Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Why is this? Why is believing in Jesus so important? I suggest the answer lies in John 3:16 to 3:18. I guess that we all know the message of John 3:16, do we? Would anyone like to have a go at reading that verse? Go on, so there must be somebody here. With all these home groups you go to and all this Bible study you're doing. Oh, wow. It's worth having home groups. For God so loved the world, that's great news, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Isn't that great? Isn't that good news? Isn't it good news? It's our future assured. But we need to read one more verse to get the whole picture, and this is quite sobering. John 3:18 tells us, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So there it is in a nutshell. the salvation, this great promise, one day standing before the Lord, it depends on our believing in him. Isn't that quite sobering? But let us remember the underlying truth that we have been told this by the God who loves each and every one of us and who is on our side. God wants us to succeed. There's some lots of misconceptions about God that he's distant and far off. Not at all. God is our loving Heavenly Father who loves the world that he has created and everything in it, including each one of us. God loved and loves us. He saved us and called us before him, even before we knew him. God created us to love and affirm us. He described himself as a loving Heavenly Father who loves and protects each one of us as his children. He provides for our every need and wants us to know just how amazing, far-reaching and complete is his unconditional love. However, believing is more than just believing the facts about God and about Jesus that are recorded in the scriptures and elsewhere in history. Even though it is important that we understand the facts, because we believe in a Jesus who is a historical figure. It's there, it's recorded, we know it's true. So we know the fact, but believing also, just as importantly, means living out a vital day-to-day relationship with God. So isn't it comforting to think that we've got the creed to help us in our daily walk of faith, to keep us focused on just what it is that we believe? We keep our faith on the straight and narrow track. We make sure that we believe the truth. And when Jesus called us to abide in him, he was teaching us that his commandments were not just a one-time call to follow him and to love him and to obey him and to believe in him and so on, but we need to keep on every day following him, every day keep on loving him, every day obey him, and every day, as we're now thinking about, we need to keep on believing him every day. And reading the creed on a regular basis, I'd suggest, will help us on that journey. Have you noticed that in the creed, the statements are, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit. In, it's inclusive, we're within it. Believing in means that we're living in a position of faith from within that relationship. At the point in time when we received Jesus as Lord and Saviour, he became and promised to be always our ever-present companion. He promised to be with us at all times and to guide us in our daily walk with him. Where the times are going really well, as Mark has just said, have you come today, everything's going well? Or is it really tough at the moment? We know he's there with us. Whatever's going on, Jesus has promised to never leave our side. Jesus calls us to follow him, put him, his will, his purposes, and his guidance before our own interests. In short, to live in Christ, or to use the old-fashioned phrase, to abide in him, live in him constantly. He has promised to send the Holy Spirit to help us do that. It's not down to us. He will be there with us to help us stay in him. And the Spirit will help us to understand God's will and his purpose in our lives, both individually and collectively as part of his worldwide church family. We're all on journeys of faith and belief, and some of us may have been on that journey just a short time and we've just started to explore, or we may have been there for many, many years. You may be in a position where perhaps you're just exploring the Christian message to see if it's for you. And if that's the case, can I suggest you just read through the creed and find out if there's any aspects of there that need explaining or to be explored more thoroughly. Come and speak to any of us. We would love to help you on your journey. A good devotional exercise, can I suggest, would be to pick up the creed explore and look at each line and try and understand where the texts are from, and to try and understand where the words have actually come from. And that there may be more than one text to cover each line, but it's well, exercise well worth doing. So I commend to you the Creed, and let's just continue in our journeys of faith together. Should we just pray for a moment? Father, we thank you for your incredible love for us. Thank you for your living word that tells us of your love for us, your world and your church. Thank you for the Creed we have been studying. Please help the important truths contained in the Creed will help us to get to know you better, to understand your love for us more deeply, and to strengthen our belief in you. Give us the desire to draw ever more close to you, Lord, and to commit our lives to you as our dearly loved children, and to be there as loving supporters for each other as a family here at St. Mary's. Amen.